nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatta deshata. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 6, text 24. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. It's a good idea to open the book at the page. Saha nischayena yogtavyaha yogaha anirvinna chetasa sankalpa abhavan kaman tyaktva sarvan acheshataha nanasa eva indriya gramam vinayamya samantataha sanischayena yogtavyo yoga nirvinna chetasa sankalpa prabhavan kamam tyaktva sarvana sheshataha manasa ivendriya gramam vinayamya samantataha sanischayena yogtavyo yogo nirvirna chetasa sankalpa prabhavan kama chatva sarvana sheshataha manasa ivendriya gramam vinayamya samantataha sanischayena yogtavyo yogo nirvirna chetasa sankalpa prabhavan kama chatva sarvana sheshataha manasa ivendriya gramam vinayamya samantataha. So, one should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith and not be deviated from the path. One should abandon, without exception, all material desires born of mental speculation and thus control all the senses on all sides by the mind. Purport: the yoga practitioner should be determined and should patiently prosecute the practice without deviation. One should be sure of success at the end and pursue this course with great perseverance, not becoming discouraged if there is any delay in the attainment of success. Success is sure for the rigid practitioner. Regarding Bhakti Yoga, Rupa Goswami says, Utsaha nischaya dharya tat tat karma pravartanat sangatyagat sato vrite shadbhir bhakti prasiddhyati. Get some grains for me to distribute to everyone. I need also. One can execute the process of Bhakti Yoga successfully with full-hearted enthusiasm, perseverance and determination by following the prescribed duties in the association of devotees and by engaging completely in activities of goodness. Upadeshamrita 3. As for determination, one should follow the example of the sparrow who lost her eggs in the waves of the ocean. A sparrow laid her eggs on the shore of the ocean, but the big ocean carried away the eggs on its waves. The sparrow became very upset and asked the ocean to return her eggs. The ocean did not even consider her appeal. So the sparrow decided to dry up the ocean. She began to pick out the water in her small beak, and everyone laughed at her for her impossible determination. The news of her activity spread, and at last Garuda, the gigantic bird carrier of Lord Vishnu, heard it. He became compassionate toward his small sister bird, and so he came to see the sparrow. Garuda was very pleased by the determination of the small sparrow, and he promised to help. Thus, Garuda at once asked the ocean to return her eggs, lest he himself take up the work of the sparrow. The ocean was frightened at this and returned the eggs. Thus, the sparrow became happy by the grace of Garuda. Similarly, the practice of yoga, especially bhakti yoga in Krishna consciousness, may appear to be a very difficult job, but if anyone follows the principles with great determination, the Lord will surely help, for God helps those who help themselves. Just a couple of points before I start to comment on this class, on this verse. Three times recently I've been in kirtans in which the Panchatattva mantra was chanted just once instead of the standard three times. It wasn't just here, it was overseas also. So I don't know if this is becoming a standard. I think it's maybe because of the kirtan melas. They just chant it once quickly, get it over with, and then go on to Hare Krishna non-stop. The idea, you got to do it, so get it out of the way. But standard, as introduced by Srila Prabhupada, is three times. If you're just going to sing for 5 minutes, then maybe one time, but otherwise, three times, at least. Another point, I request at least my disciples to listen to this class which I gave on pronunciation of Sanskrit and Bengali, with the idea we're going to sing the same things and say the same things day after day throughout our life. We might as well say it properly. Just like if I, throughout my life, I call Radish Prabhu. Your name is Radish, isn't it? No.
Radish.
Radish, that's Muli. It's the English name for Muli. So if I call you Radish, but it's just as easy to say as Radhesh as Radish. So you can just as easily pronounce, if you're going to say the same songs every day, we might as well learn to sing them with correct pronunciation. So, regarding this verse, this chapter of Bhagavad Gita describes the yoga system. Yoga system by which one mechanically in the sense that one deliberately tries to control the body, breath, the body and breath in order to bring the mind under control. The qualities required for doing this are mentioned here, prime one being determination, because determination means to go on doing something which doesn't give an immediate enjoyable result. Sankalpa prabhavan kamans. The tendency, desires come. They come from the sankalpa is described here as some mental. We have different ideas of sense gratification, and that manifest different ideas. The general idea that we want to enjoy material sense gratification, and from that arises so many material desires, one after the other. So it's much easier just to indulge in material desires, to follow one's desires, but the yogi understands that doing so may give some immediate pleasure, but in the end, it gives distress. So he becomes a yogi for this purpose. So these qualities, determination. His determination is based on saying no to the mind, which says, wait, this yoga is so difficult. You don't have to do it. You can just be normal like everyone else and just enjoy the world. In another life, you can be a yogi. If you want to be a yogi, okay, well, let's make a compromise. In another life, you can be a yogi. Just for now, be normal. So one has to have determination. And this principle is true in bhakti yoga also. And with determination, the other qualities necessary for success in devotional service. This Srila Prabhupada has quoted from Upadeshamrita, Utsaha nischa dharyat tat tat karma pravartanat sangatyaga sato vritte shadbhya bhaktiya prasiddhyati. So these principles, they apply in most areas of activity, not even devotional. I say most, I'll get back to that later, but maybe not all these principles apply. But in most areas, especially if you're going to do something exceptional or something that is that requires much effort, these principles, enthusiasm, determination, patience, following the prescribed method, giving up bad association, and sato vritehe, following in the footsteps of the previous persons who have done this, or doing things in a clean way, straightforward way. So these apply to most principles. Therefore, we can understand that in devotional service, although these are all essential, but even prior to that, one must have a clear idea of what one wants to do. And that applies in mundane activities also. If you're not sure or not clear what you want to do, then you're not going to do it, because there's no it to do. You have to know what you're doing, what you're aiming at. So before all of these, there has to be a proper understanding of what we're doing. Siddhanta. One should clearly know what is the goal. Start with the goal in mind, as said the great sage, what's his name, Stephen Covey. Start with the goal in mind. Seven, oh dear, there we have. It's one of the habits of highly effective people. Anyway, as I often, well, a few times, I discussed this with Sridhar Maharaj, my godbrother, who was a great fan of the Seven Habits, and I wasn't. So he said that, well, it's just a template, you can run anything on it. And I said, yeah, but all these things are in our Shastras, why not take it from the Shastras instead of taking it from Stephen Covey? So it's not that he invented these things, it's already there. These principles are required also, as I say, in every endeavor, in devotional service, we start with the goal in mind. The goal is Krishna Prema. One has to have a clear understanding of what that is. Krishna Prema, how does that come? That comes from the attitude of selfless service. So Rupa Goswami, in his definition of bhakti, he says that anyabhilashita shunyam jnana kama dhyanavritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti ruttama. He doesn't mention prema. The topmost bhakti, he doesn't mention prema at all. But he mentions the attitude that is required to develop prema and which is synonymous with prema, because prema, protestations of or declarations of prema without this selfless service attitude is meaningless. So one has to have a very clear understanding, and of course there has to be enthusiasm. Now enthusiasm is of various types. One can be, generally one becomes enthusiastic about sense gratification, but if he doesn't get it very quickly, then the enthusiasm dies out. Enthusiasm and determination go, and patience, they all go together. Because if one's enthusiasm fizzles out like a firecracker, or you send it up, it makes a big big noise and a big bright display, and then it's finished in a few seconds. So that enthusiasm is a childish enthusiasm. But real enthusiasm has to be sustained with determination. And determination, one factor of determination is patience also. One kind of determination is to just push things through by force. That won't work in bhakti, and it doesn't work in much in this world. Force will not stand, is an English saying which Srila Prabhupada quoted. It may for some time, by force, one may be able to dominate some situation for some time. But it's because in this world, no one is a dominator by constitution. Therefore, someone for some time may be able to dominate, but then after some time they're defeated. As for instance, examples of great enthusiasm and determination in the history of the modern Western world were Napoleon Bonaparte and Adolf Hitler. They both had great enthusiasm to promote their national cause. They had great determination. Patience also requires some intelligence, that sometimes in some situations just attack and you can overcome the enemy, but in some situations it may be better to wait. But they both made the same mistake of attacking Russia, and they were defeated by more by the snow and the winter than by the troops of the Russians, who are no match for them. So there's an example of people with great determination. But determination can be a completely demoniac in a demoniac person. It's not in and of itself a godly quality. If one is determined to inflict pain on others or dominate others, that's required. If one's going to be a political leader or a leader of any kind, some determination is required. But the determination of a materialistic leader is to dominate. And the more demoniac they are, then the more they come to the platform of dominating by any means, with no scruples. But the determination of a Krishna conscious leader is the determination to serve the mission of Guru and Krishna. Not that my service is dependent upon my position. I've got this position and I'm going to do it, I'm going to show. They're attached to that position. Just 2 days ago, I think it was, I spoke about Srila Prabhupada. He practically overnight, without giving any forewarning, appeared to close down the ISKCON press. Later on he said, okay, we'll keep it. But the devotee who had developed it became totally discouraged and just left Krishna consciousness. And left his wife and child and everything. Just gone. I don't have that post, then gone. Altogether. One of our big original 11 so-called acharyas, I heard that some time ago, he was who left Krishna consciousness, he was asked that, well, maybe you could come back. He said, well, if they give me a suitable post. Which suggests he lost it even long time before. He was apparently very successful. He was enthusiastic, determined. But his determination was the determination for showing off, I suppose. Showing what a great acharya he was with his great achievements. But at heart, the service attitude wasn't there. So all these factors are required. Determination is described by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. That determination which is unbreakable, which is sustained with steadfastness by yoga practice, and which thus controls the activities of the mind, life and senses, is determination in the mode of goodness. This is the determination which is being spoken of in this verse, this Gita verse which we read today. So nischayena, nischaya, means the determination. So that which is sustained with steadfastness by yoga practice. So it's not just some strong-mindedness. We find many people who are very strong-minded and they bring that into Krishna consciousness. But the sattvic determination is that which is sustained by yoga practice, which in our case means the practice of bhakti yoga, chanting the holy names, shravanam kirtanam. In preaching also, all these principles, they apply. If we're to be successful in preaching. Successful, the real success in preaching is that we sincerely try to do it. It's a devotional service. And the result is in Krishna's hands. But we should also try to actually bring people to Krishna consciousness for the pleasure of Krishna. So numbers is some indication, can be some indication of success also. But again, Siddhanta comes first, because if we tweak the teachings to get more people in, then we actually do a disservice, however successful it might appear to be. So, sustained with steadfastness by yoga practice, and which controls the activities of the mind, life and senses. So this determination, this kind of determination is required, not just that someone has a very strong mind, just like Hitler had a strong mind, or Napoleon had a strong... So by one's previous activities, one may, in this life, have a strong mind, and by the power of one's strong mind, when one comes to Krishna consciousness, one is able to take a prominent position and dominate, but tendency to dominate others without Krishna consciousness, that's actually demoniac, because the constitutional position of the living being is to serve others. So the tendency to dominate without Krishna consciousness, or minimally without a sense of dharma, as given in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, the kshatriya has Ishvara bhava. So that the kshatriya who's the Ishvara bhava, the mood of a controller, but here that means that's tempered by dharma. That means his attitude is to give protection to the citizens, to maintain and protect them, not to exploit them or dominate them. Dominate them, yes, but not for the sake of self-aggrandizement, but as a function of dharma. So this tendency to dominate others, without, it can be dovetailed very well in Krishna consciousness. If one actually does that in Krishna consciousness, it's Srila Prabhupada, he picked up men with good spirit, and made them leaders in his movement. For instance, it's well known among the disciples of Srila Prabhupada that Tamal Krishna Maharaj had a very strong dominating spirit that was in his personality. But then Srila Prabhupada took that, engaged that in Krishna's service, and by that Tamal Krishna Maharaj did so much service for Srila Prabhupada. So there are many nice, humble, not much recognized devotees who are doing steady, quiet service, but we also need the ones who are going to take a lead and be strong. All types are needed. So to spread and to establish and spread a movement, a leadership is required. So the some dominating tendency has to be there to because you just leader means you have to tell people what to do and what not to do. But it has to be not in the spirit of showing one's prabhutva, one's domination. We address devotees as prabhu, and the word prabhutva means the spirit of dominating others. So one may be addressed as prabhu, but should always think of himself as a servant. Then, in determination in the mode of passion, yaya tu dharma karma tandritya dharyatirjuna prasangena pala kangshi dhriti sa parata rajasi. That determination by which one holds fast to fruitive results in religion, economic development, and sense gratification is the nature of passion, O Arjuna. So one can be a leader in Krishna consciousness, but result-driven and driven by results for the sake of the results, not clearly for the sake of pleasing Krishna. Phala kangshi. One is very... So one may be doing all the right things, but with the wrong motivation. And one may even get the right result, but it won't be the right result. One might be able to build temples and have disciples and followers, but if one is doing so not specifically, wholly and solely for the pleasure of Krishna, if one has any motivation for personal name, fame, showing oneself to be better than others, or even just because one has the tendency to do something, but one feels satisfied. Just see what you just have to do something. It's your nature, your very active nature, rajasic nature. But not clearly for the pleasure of Krishna, Guru and Krishna, Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. Then, even though the result might seem to be very good, but it won't be very good because by spiritual osmosis or Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha, then everyone we come in contact, all the buildings we develop, the people we preach to, and I made him a devotee, they'll all be infected by the same polluted consciousness. So it may look like everything's going on just right. See, they've got so many people, and they're chanting Hare Krishna, and success. But if the principle of pure devotional service is not transmitted, then it's not really a success. And even if it appears to be transmitted, they'll quote the verse, and the abhilashitasya, and they'll quote all this, but their concept of devotional service is in terms of, I did this, I did this, I did that, by your mercy, we started this program's going on well, this, that. Just showing. But the real spirit to benefit others is not there. Then it's all polluted. Yaya swapnam bhayam shokam vishadam madameva cha navimunchati durme dha dhriti sa partha tamasi. That determination which cannot go beyond dreaming, fearfulness, lamentation, moroseness, and illusion, such unintelligent determination, O son of Pritha, is in the mode of darkness. Obviously, such a person can't be a leader. If they talk big things, but it's just talk, that's all. Their contribution to the actual spreading of Krishna consciousness is just zero, actually. Big talk, big ideas. Yeah, we can do this, we can do it. I mean, I know, I can particularly think of one devotee like that who talks big things. It sounds like, but nothing actually comes of it. Just doesn't go beyond talking. We have to distribute thousands of books, and he doesn't distribute any books or do anything for. But he talks about it as if he's really into it. But he, actual work is zero. So one has to be practical also, actually engaged in activities. Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna consciousness, he always equated it with activity. Krishna consciousness is activity. It's not, we say consciousness, but from consciousness, it doesn't stop at consciousness, just okay. I'm thinking of Krishna. Get up, Prabhu, it's time to get up. No, I'm lying in here thinking of Krishna. So don't disturb me. But there has to be some practical activity. So in preaching also, there has to be enthusiasm. Without enthusiasm, how can you do anything? We often joke that people are more enthusiastic about prasadam than anything else. And we find in any center of the Krishna conscious movement all over the world, if we have a Sunday program, that the attendance for prasadam is always more than that for the lecture. One center I was at recently, after the arati, there is a lecture, midday, and they immediately start serving prasadam. And everyone goes, as if there's no, they don't even wait for the lecture to end. And most people just go and take prasadam. It's just, you come to the temple, you see the arati, you put some money in the box, and then that's the main thing. And then you go and take prasadam. And that's all. Not very inspired. And another, in England this year, I was there for Janmashtami. For the second time in England, I had a tour of England during Janmashtami, visiting. I was going to visit five places, but I just visited four, because in one place I was giving lectures in different ways. One place they said, well, we don't have a lecture on Janmashtami. We have dramas and competitions and kirtans and prasadam, and that's all. No lecture. So, preaching. Preaching means don't say anything that people won't like, so to be sure we won't say anything. No, don't speak any philosophy. Don't speak any philosophy. People might not like it. The main thing is people should like it. They don't like our philosophy, then don't speak it. That's all. Just give them prasadam. That's what they like. So one has to have enthusiasm because they don't like it. People in the world, they don't like Krishna consciousness. It's a great miracle that we're distributing so many books. If we tell people that this is a book which tells you to give up meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, all material attachments, and completely surrender to Krishna, give up your false egoism, it's a good line, book distributors? I don't think so. Even among our own devotees, if we tell them that family attachment is the cause of bondage in this mature world, pungsastriya mituni bhavametam, shouldn't say that, they won't like it. So one has to have enthusiasm. Enthusiasm means that it's based, enthusiasm for materialists is based on the prospect we're going to get something for our sense gratification. Then they become enthusiastic. Even the children going to school, studying, they can maintain because they're told by everyone around them that if you do this, then eventually you'll get a good job. And then you'll be happy. So their enthusiasm to study, even though it's not relishable, and they get to relish it after some time. Because they're relishing the prospect that I'll have a big job, and I have lots of money, and I'll be a success. But in devotional service, the enthusiasm which is sustained enthusiasm, means by dedication to the principle of service to Guru and Krishna, that by doing this, Srila Prabhupada will be pleased. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasadaha. Then Krishna will be pleased. That's the perfection of my life. So one, therefore, siddhanta, proper understanding, has to come first. One is enthusiastic on that platform. Devotees, they go out and distribute books day and night, hundreds of books, meeting in the 1970s in the Western countries, meeting inimical persons. Why should they do that? Because they know they can actually experience. Srila Prabhupada is pleased by this. And so they become more enthusiastic. And the police are harassing and arresting, and they can't understand how these people remain so enthusiastic. They must be brainwashed. So make a case, brainwashing case. They must be brainwashed. Otherwise, how could they be enthusiastic to go on selling these books, which are not easy to sell? If it was a pornography book, it would be a lot easier to sell. Or even if it was the life of Mother Teresa, it would be a lot easier to sell, because mundane people like it. It gives them a good feeling. Oh, how nice. But if you read Prabhupada's books, it doesn't give them a good feeling at all. It makes them feel bad. Oh, I'm attached to this material world. Oh, they're insulting me. All fools and rascals. You are a demon. Seems to be what he's saying. He's describing me and says such a person is a demon. So they go on distributing these books enthusiastically, day after day. And they can't under the demons couldn't understand it. So they must be brainwashed. Is any sane human being, they have girlfriends and they work and get a job and career, and these people, they don't have sex and they don't go to parties and they don't take alcohol. Even if they're a hippie with long hair and taking LSD, we could understand that a little bit better, but this doesn't make any sense at all. So devotees maintain their enthusiasm and determination. They go side by side. The determination required to do this, and patience to go on and on and on. With so many difficulties come, so many obstacles come, we have to deal with so many strange people, and we have to deal with our own strange mind. Every mind is strange, but everyone's mind is strange in their own unique way. I'm uniquely insane. Well, so is everyone else. In this material world, everyone is insane in various ways. And those who are insane in a manner which is quite similar to that of most other people, they're considered sane. It's not that they're actually sane, it's just that they're insane in the same way as everyone else. And they call that being sane, because they think it's normal. So normal means, but actually they're all insane. So to go on pushing Krishna consciousness despite non-acceptance. Here in India there's some encouragement because there is acceptance at some level. But if you push a little harder, if you just, there's the standard piety of many, not all, but many Indian people there's some standard piety. If you just push a little bit beyond the piety and actually threaten their sense gratification, even subtly, then their appreciation starts to, a different mood comes. But that is required. Our aim is not to, as we've understood from Srila Prabhupada, from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, which he gave us, our aim is not to encourage people to be pious Hindus. Our aim is to encourage people to give up all conception. Even pious Hinduism may have many parallels with Krishna, may have many things in common with Krishna consciousness, but it's based on a mundane conception of life. We are here to enjoy this world. And no, even some vague idea there's reincarnation, but they're not much concerned with their future life. Living as an animal, but as a pious Hindu animal. It's Ahara Nidra Bhaya Maitun with Shubh Labh Jai Shri Krishna added to it. That's all. But the basic goal of life is eating, sleeping, mating, and affecting. Is it not? You're in Surat.
Yes.
Pious, very pious place. Most pious city in the whole of India, which means in the whole of the world, in the whole of the universe. But people are not interested in surrendering to Krishna, giving up all their mundane designations. They'll be very happy if you have a big conference about cow protection. They'll all come, Go Mata Ki Jai. But if you have something about actually surrendering to Krishna, they're not very popular. If you Bhagavad Sabda, you can organize, and so many people will come, and you sing nice songs about Krishna, and they all say Jai and this and that. But if you just tweak it a little bit and start reading other verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, then there won't be so many people coming. So actually preaching and gathering many people, we may become enthusiastic. Oh, we'll do a Bhagavad Sapta, 20,000 people will come. We'll become, then next time, 50,000 people will become bigger than Murari Bapu. And, it'll be big, 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 so many people will come. And they come, and they like it, they give a donation, you build a big temple, and you have a big organization, and many followers, many disciples, and none of them ever understood anything about what Srila Prabhupada came to this world to do. Srila Prabhupada did not, contrary to the opinion of some, come to this world to promote pious Hinduism, or to have eye camps, even in Rajamandal. He didn't come to start hospitals. That was Vivekananda. You got mixed up. You should have gone to that's the Ram Krishna mission, not the Hare Krishna movement. You should know the difference. You say you're in the wrong camp. You should be in the Ram Krishna mission. That's the ones for hospitals and mundane schools and this and that. Or maybe it's a vegetarian version of the Ramakrishna mission. Here in South India, the Ramakrishna mission, they're vegetarian. They couldn't get away with eating fish and eggs and meat as they do in Calcutta. South Indian people wouldn't go for it. And most there are South Indian people who join it also. So their idea of being a sadhu is not to be a chicken-eating sadhu. They know that much. They're pious Hindus who get mixed up with the Ramakrishna mission. So to actually preach requires enthusiasm, determination, patience. Everything's not going to go right. Definitely, things are going to go wrong. Sometimes things go very wrong. We may say due to no fault of our own, due to faults of our own also. But don't give up. Don't give up very easily. One should not give up very easily. So there are other considerations also. It's application of intelligence is very important. One can be enthusiasm, determined, patience, and not be very intelligent about what one's doing. There are so many mundane, we could say, almost mundane considerations, just like selection of location. If we're going to have a temple, selection of location is very important. Srila Prabhupada, he was well aware of all these things, so he saw some place devotees were considering, said, no, won't work. In wrong location. It's on the corner, it's on a corner plot, on a busy road, and he gave the example of the Gauriya Mart in Madras, which actually is on a, is not on a corner plot. Maybe it was previously, maybe they changed the roads or whatever. It's on Gauriya Mart Road. But he said, because always the buses are coming, and they stop, they turn, they change gears, and they pop their horn and this and that, and it's always a disturbance. So some intelligence, is one able, is this a something practical? Of course, what Srila Prabhupada, he set out to do was something impractical. To spread, to establish Krishna consciousness, that was only possible by a very great measure of mercy, but that came due to Srila Prabhupada's enthusiasm, determination, patience, following the basic procedures. In preaching, the basic thing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced is Shravanam Kirtanam. Kirtan, chanting the holy names in public, and inducing people to hear at least some basic philosophy. Srila Prabhupada said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only discussed philosophy with a few people in preaching. We have the record of Sam Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati. Among his own disciples, he would discuss Bhagavatam and this and that. But among the ordinary people, he would also speak some basic philosophy. He sent Nityananda and Haridas, Shuno Shuno Nityananda Shuno Haridas Savatrama Ragya Karaha Prakash Prate Ghare Ghare Ghiya Prate Ghare Ghare Ghiya Karo E Bhikkha Bhaja Krishna Balo Krishna Karo Krishna Shikha. So, having said all that, the last word in that, all of that, was Shikha. You should learn. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is not that he didn't give any philosophy. He gave some basic philosophy. People should understand some basic philosophy. But you know, Thakur also describes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his followers going out in the early morning, Mukunda Madhava Jadava Hari. They would chant the holy names and induce others to also. Bolena Bolare Bodana Boy Michinida Boshe Gallery Rati Diboshe Shari Rashaja. You spend your days just for the decoration of your body and your night sleeping, and Ebena Bhajale Joshoda Sutta Charame Paribilaja. If you don't worship Krishna now in this human life, you'll just fall down into shame. So, it wasn't that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't preaching, he was preaching, but basic, simple stuff, which actually you'll find anyone can understand. You don't need to be educated, you can find people. I've personally met in Bengals, Vaishnavas with very good understanding of basic Siddhanta, maybe they couldn't explain to you about how the Chaturvyuha, and then there's another Chaturvyuha, and Mahasankarsana. Maybe they couldn't explain. Maybe they could also, but they have a basic understanding. This human life is very rare. It's meant for serving Krishna. We have to chant the holy names. They got it. They know. No Bhakti Shastra degree, nothing. But they know. And they're fixed. And they're doing their devotional service. So, Shravan Kirtan are the basic things, and that's there in, Prabhupada started this movement by, in the Western countries, by preaching, by going out in the public and chanting. He would also give lectures. And distributing philosophy, one of the first things he did, when he had his first followers, still they hadn't shaved up, I'm not sure if they were even initiated, but he had them do this Back to Godhead magazine. Even though all they knew was what they'd heard from him, they're all new, but he had Back to Godhead. Make a magazine, write, you preach. And then later that expanded into his books, distributing books. These are the basic activities, and there are so many other activities also, festivals, holding festivals, and is a traditional Gaudiya method of preaching. It wasn't introduced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu per se, but that came up just after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, regular festivals, Gaur Purnima festival. Rasikananda Dev in Orissa, that was a standard method of his preaching to hold big festivals, which includes prasadam distribution. So these are the basic methods of preaching. You're going to preach, you have enthusiasm, determination, patience, tat-tat, karma, pravartana. Just do the basic things. If you want to do something else also, like having a rock concert, well, maybe. But the first, at least not in... not as an alternative to the basic kirtan, that maybe among a certain crowd, maybe, I'm saying maybe here with underlining that word. But the basic processes should be there. And if you do that, success will be there. Other things may be there, but they should be to bring people to these processes. Hearing, chanting, joining festivals, taking prasadam, hearing, chanting, that includes giving philosophy, books, all these things, book distribution. These are the basic preaching activities. Sangha Tyaga, that means giving up bad association. In preaching we have to mix with so many non-devotees, but not exactly mix. We go among them, but don't mix. Don't become too close to them. We may have opportunities for preaching by mixing to some extent with some vegetarian society or Save Earth Now society, but we don't mix closely with them. We may go to a peace march in the Western countries. They used to have peace marches. I don't think they have them anymore. It used to be when Srila Prabhupada was present. I don't, they don't have peace marches anymore. They gave up just to waste of time having a peace march. Still, they have conferences. They have all the religious leaders come together and they light a candle and say Om and Shalom and Allahu Akbar and peace. And in the meantime, no one gives a damn about their prayers for world peace. Like that. Anyway, there was some peace march when Prabhupada was preaching in America in the 1960s, a civil rights movement. So devotees would go and they would join and they would do kirtan. That's all. It doesn't mean we become part of the civil rights movement, so that blacks, you're not supposed to call them blacks, anyway, whatever they call them nowadays, blacks could sit in the bus in the same seats as whites. So dedicate your life so that blacks and whites can sit in the same seat. And women have the right to have abortion, and that's all part of the civil liberties movement. So devotees can go and do kirtan, but it's not, we don't become part of that. We don't join their campaign for even for vegetarianism. So Sangha Tyaga, be careful. Preaching means we go among people, but be careful how closely we go. And sato vritte, following the example of the previous acharyas, Srila Prabhupada in this verse, he says, by engaging activities, completely in activities of goodness, sato vritte can also mean conducting our activities in a clean way. Of course, this world is very corrupt, but as far as possible, as people are looking to us, or we hope that people will look to us as being exemplars, so we should also not engage in any cheating, as far as possible, keep clean. Deal with people straightforwardly. It is a corrupt world, so we may have to do things in a somewhat corrupt way. I myself, I must admit, in Bangladesh we used to engage in smuggling Prabhupada's books into the country. So I have no regrets about that, but it's, you have to lie to the customs officers and this and that. But we'd be much more happy if we could just do it straightforwardly. But if you can't, then you may have to resort to some other means. But in general, do everything in a very clean way. So these are principles of success in devotional service. And I'll finish there for now and maybe continue tomorrow some more about this. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Any question about this? Yeah.
I said.
Yeah, it's Indian English.
Guru Maharaj, you said that from beginning our clear understanding of Siddhanta should be there. So I wonder how much, because clear understanding of Siddhanta also comes by purification.
Clear understanding of Siddhanta comes from purification also. How much can people grasp in the beginning? Well, it depends on their innate capacity. Innate means where they start off, taking off from the previous life and the association they get in this life. But also in the beginning, they don't start preaching. Or they may go... They may be sent for book distribution or assisting someone like this, but they don't really know what they're doing. Really, if we're talking about preaching, what I was talking about here was devotees who are dedicating their lives for bringing others to Krishna consciousness, and who are making plans to do that. So we're not talking about gross neophytes here. You have to learn something before you can attempt to convey that to others. And learning, as you mentioned, it's not just learning, it's becoming purified, absorbing that. Yeah, anything else? No, Hare Krishna. So please give this...